So now we're picking up on Brachas Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and by the two dots, four lines down, and we're going to now explore this idea of these the Ashmuros. Remember, he said it's the cutoff time is the Sofa Ashmura Rishon, or the end of the first watch. So now that's also pretty unclear what he's talking about. When is the first watch? And so the Gemara says, Micah Sava Rebbe Eliezer. Now, what was his opinion? When does he think the first watch ends? Because the truth is, we'll see the next Amud, it's actually Machlokas if there's three or four watches in the night. So that, of course, the night divides 12 hours and each one's equal. So if there's three watches in the night, which is, then it will come out each one, it's 4 hours into the night, at the end of the first watch. And if there are four watches in the night, it'll come out that the first watch ends after 3 hours. So it's not clear. So Mikasav Rebbe Eliezer, what does he hold? Ikasav Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. If he holds the night has three Mishmaros, so then let him be clear. Lema at Arba Shalos. Let him say you have 4 hours to say Kriya Shma and be simple. V'ikasav Arba Mishmaros Havi Alayla. And if he holds there are four different watches in the night, so then Lema at Shalosh Shalos. Let him say 3 hours and again not have to be confusing. La olam, the Gemara answers, Kasavar Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. No, he holds there are three watches in the night. Bahad the Kamash Malam, but what do you learn from this? Dik Mishmaras Barakia, Viki Mishmaras Ba'ara. That there are not just, we'll learn like this shot, there are not just Mishmaros up in heaven, there's also Mishmaros down on planet Earth. Now what is that talking about? So, Rashi learns like this, we'll learn like Rashi for now, that the Mishmaros and the Rakia in heaven is like this. There's different angelic forces doing their thing throughout the evening, and it's divided, like Rabbi Eliezer, into three different phases, where the Malachim sing their relevant song. In other words, the three different phases in the evening where different spiritual forces rule the show, and they take turns. So when the first watch changes guard, you switch over from you know, mode of running the world A to mode of running the world B. So then, spiritually speaking, that's the end of the first Ashmura and going into the second Ashmura. So, that being that, if that's the case, so the point is that we're learning something again, sort of the second thing we're learning besides the obvious from Rebbe Eliezer, which is you should know you actually can tell down on planet Earth when this is happening, and therefore you'll be able to figure out when the end of Kriya Shema is, the window of opportunity is closed. And therefore you can have some sign for the matter. Okay? Now, the Gemara, I'll explore more down the way, but there's much to be talked about in this point. So the Gemara now says, Desanya, we have a brisa which tells you about the Mishmaros. It says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, here's Rabbi Eliezer again, Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Yalila. He holds, here it's explicit, clearly, there are three different watches, three phases in the night, during the when the angels do their thing. Va'kol Mishmar Mishmar, and at each mishmar, and we'll see it's at the changing the guards, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shoei ka'ari. The Hashem sits and he roars like a lion. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, the darshan is pasuk from Yirmiyah. It's going to say the word shoeg to roar three times. It says Hashem mimarom yishag. Hashem in his high place he roars. Umamaon kadsho yiten kolos, and from his dwelling place, his holy dwelling place, he gives out a voice. Sha'og Yishag, again, two more Shagas, two more roars, for a total of three, on the veil, on a dwelling place, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So, you see there, that there are three different Mishmaros, and that's where Rabbi Eliezer held, and he meant, he just can tell you something, that there's Mishmaros in heaven and down on earth. Now, the Brisa continues on, V'simon l'davar, you actually can know when these, the changing of the guards, the angelic guards happen. How do you know? Mishmar Rishona Chamor Noer. In the first watch, the donkey brays. Shnia, the second watch, Kalavim Tzoakim, the dogs bark. And Shlishis, and the third one, the Tino Kedurach Mishteimo, babies nursed from their mother. V'ishim is a parasim bala, and a woman, when people sleep together in the same room, so a woman will speak to her husband. That's like, you know, waking up time. That's the third watch. End of the Brisa. So you see, Rabbi Eliezer holds their three watch in the night. He meant after 4 hours. He was telling you this thing to teach you another thing, which is that you can tell about Mishmaros happening on planet Earth also, and even going to Brisa, how you can know when it happens. So now, the Gemara asks, wait a second. What exactly did he have in mind? Makach Hashav Rabbi Eliezer. What did he mean when he gave you these times? When he said these three events happen, the donkey braying, the dog barking, and the children nursing stroke, the woman speaking to her husband, Now, what is that? Is that at the mark in the beginning of the Mishmar or the end of the Mishmar? Itchilas Mishmaros Kachashi, if he means this is the starting time for each three Mishmaros, well then, Tchilas Mishmar Rishona Simana Lamali. The starting time for the first Mishmar, why do we need some sort of weird sign about donkeys braying? Or to who? The sign is nightfall. When it comes night, obviously it's a kickoff, so that's obviously can't what he means. But on the other hand, Isof Mishmaros Kachashi, if he meant the ending times of the three Mishmaros, well then, Sof Mishmara Achrona Lamali, why do they need to have a notification, some weird sign, how the last watch came to end? Because Yamamahu, the sign is daylight, that's when the sky lights up. Ella, the Gemara says, no, what he meant was, Chashiv Sof Mishmara Rishona, he was telling you the end of the first watch, that was the donkey's bray, and Tchilas Mishmar Achrona, and the beginning of the last watch, which is when the husband and wife start talking, the baby nurses, them to Istam Saisa, and the dog's barking is the middle of the middle. There you go. Now, we'll have to come back to answering why is that relevant to know when the middle of the middle is. Who cares? That's midnight. So who cares about midnight? So what? We're not clear. Iboy Seima, or alternatively, I give you a better answer, or a different answer. Kulu Sof Mishmoros Kachashir, the truth is, all three times indicate the end of each watch. V'chi Tema, and if you'll say, Achrona Lo Tzarech, you don't need a sign for the last watch because that's daybreak. L'man Nafgamina, when could it be applicable as a useful halacha to know? The Mikra Kriyishma, to tell you that you need to know, now say Kriyishma, L'man Degan Beveis Afel, if you're sleeping in a dark house. No, that's true. If you look on the skyline, you'll see like the eastern sky lighting up. That's assuming you're looking out your window. If you're living in a cave, you won't know a thing about it. So you hear the baby waking up, starting to nurse, that's it. You know now, time to get up. Right? Beloya does man kriyishma. You wouldn't know when this man kriyishma is. Kivan deishim is the parasim bala. Once the woman starts talking to her husband, betina kyonak mishte imo, and the child starts nursing from his mother, lekam velikri, time to get up and say kriyishma. So you see that the end of the, you know, it's useful to know when the last watch came to an end. Now, this surprising issue is brought on the halacha. The Mishmaros, and actually not in an obscure place. The second halacha in Shulchan Aruch.
Why is it the same thing the first one? You don't know whether it's like the dog that's like living in a cave. Now you're just about the same
child. Excuse me, I didn't understand the question.
You didn't know when the dog had signed the beginning of the night.
No, but people aren't sleeping yet. You know, you're awake. You know, your eyes are. When? Nightfall. Everyone's awake. It's not bedtime, that's the point. It's on Shtiva.
You're not living in a cave.
No, if you're living in a cave, okay, but you're wide awake, so open your eyes and look out the cave, and you'll see that nightfall. That's not the problem is you're sleeping, you don't know. Something has to wake you up to say Kriyishma, time to get up out of bed. Now, this issue of the thirds of the night, the question is why should be relevant, and the answer is that Taka, as we'll see, Hashem is being shoek, he's crying over the base of Mikdash, and there are times that are especially ratsui, you know, desirable in terms of asking for mercy on the rebuilding base of Mikdash. And this is actually brought down the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning. Simon Aleph Sif Beit brings down from the tour that says just that a person should make an effort. I'll read the tour inside. It says, "B'tov l'misha makdim." He says, people who are going to get up in the middle of the night at the end of the first, second, and third of the night, it's good to know it. And that time, Hashem is remembering as the Chorban, the base of Mikdash, as we'll see, it's speaking out further more down below, right? Begulas Yisrael, and also the Gullus, Shabbat Umas, amongst the non-Jews, and therefore, but the Tefillah Shizpal Adam Ba'oso Shah Ala Korban, Begulas Ritzuya Ukrova Liskabel. It's a good time to daven for it, and it'll be received. And therefore, and that's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say the best time to daven for the Korban is at the Shlishas, and many other, therefore, near the end of the night, would be a good time to do it. The Zohar learns, and the Rizal brings, and that what you want is the middle of the middle watch. You want midnight, chatzos. Everyone's familiar with Tikkun Chatzos. Everyone's familiar, but Tikkun Chatzos, which is, the Zohar is the first speaks about it, and the Rizal has a nusach of Tikkun Chatzos that people say, to daven at midnight. And sensing here's a machlokas here between the Niglan and the Nistar about when actually is the prime time to daven for the base of Mikdash. The Rush brings the halacha the Torah brings the halacha that a person should daven at the thirds, and the Arizal goes at the Zohar that he should daven at Chatzos midnight. Now there's another halacha brought down right after this. It's also brought down, it's from the Rosh, it's brought down as halacha Gimel, Sif Gimel in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch there, or Chaim Simon Aleph, which says it's Roy Lechol Yirei Shemaim, it's appropriate for every person who fears heaven, Shehe Meitar V'Doag Ba'osar Shah, to be Meitar, troubled, V'Doag and worried, Ba'osar Shah at that time, Ulishpoch Tachnunim Al Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Kamo Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, the Pasuk from Enecha, it says, Komi Rini Belaila L'Rosh HaShmuros, get up, like awaken my spirit and cry out over the, at the beginning of the Shmuros. So, Meitar means it should bother you that there's no Beis HaMikdash, and Doag means it should, you should be worried, what are you going to do about it? Right? Doag, you're troubled, what's going to be? So, that's brought on the halacha also, and how do you, so that's the din. The Shla brings down that the appropriate thing to do, at least to remember the Beis HaMikdash, is to say Shir Malos, that's our minhag to say Shir Malos, it's from this, from the Shla, to be mechayim this halacha, of the concern of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you don't know what it means, you're not thinking about it, then you're not the mechayim the union of Shir Malos altogether. And at the same time, by the way, he mentions Shir Malos just when it's days Yom Tov, no Tachnunim. But in a normal day, actually he says you should say the Al Naros Bavel, the two sides of the same coin. No good reason to be mocking for Shir Malos and not be mocking for Al Naros Bavel, but the Olam seems to be more makeup for one over the other. In any case, so this sukkah is brought down the halacha like that. Now, the Gemara continues on. We're now at the there's a dot here, it's like middle of the page, okay? It says, Amr Yitzhak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Durav. Yom Mishmaros Havi Alayla. There are three watched in the night. V'alkol Mishmar Mishmar Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem sits V'shoed Kari. He cries out like a lion. He's drowning out the songs of the Malachim. V'omer. And he says, Oy Levanim, woe to the children Sheba'avanoseim, because of their sins. Hechravti Es Beisi, I had to destroy my house. V'saravti Es Hechali, and I burned down my palace. Big lazim, lebein umas olam, and I had to send them to be exiled amongst the nations. So here, an expression of Hashem's actual tsar, his suffering over having to deal with this, that he was forced, so to speak, it hurts him more than it hurts us, he was forced to send us to the gullus, and he wants us back, and therefore he sees, since he's bemoaning on having a Beis HaMikdash, it's appropriate to daven in those times. Okay, now, we have a braisa, which is, you'll see, hard to see how it's connected at first, but it'll tie in a moment. It says, Tanya, it says in a braisa, I'm Rabbi Yossi says, Pam achas, one time, Haisi mahalach baderech, I was walking along the way, v'nichnasti lachorva achas mechorvas Yerushalayim, and I entered into one of the ruins of the ruined Jerusalem. Rabbi Yossi lived, he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, lived in the door right after Bar Kokhba, right after Bar Kokhba's revolt, 135, the end of it. That was the Jerusalem was just plowed over, made a pagan city, Aelia Capitolina, and it was a disaster. The whole place was ruined. So there are those who say that the Horva synagogue, which is now rebuilt, I know, is this synagogue is where he went in. He went in there to Lispal to pray, and when he was davening, Ba Eliyahu Zachar Latov, Eliyahu Navi came to him. Zachar Latov, you know, his memory should be for good. Chazal only uses this idiom of Zachar Latov for Eliyahu Navi, only, unique to him. There's one place talking about Harvona, remember, from the Megillah. So there are those who say that Harvona actually wasn't a real person. Eliyahu Navi coming down to say, oh, to really, you know, put fuel in the fire of Achashverosh's anger. In the case, Vishamar Li Al Pesach, and Rabbi Yossi says that Eliyahu Navi was, according to Rashi, Shamar means waited. He waited for me at the door. Shamar can mean to wait, like you see, it's actually in Bereishis, like it says by Yaakov. He says, Va'aviv Shamar es Sadavar, like, you know, Yaakov waited to see what would be with Shechem. So it could mean to wait. Other unfortunate learning means actually guard me at the door, and there's the Indian of a pulse, a dangerous place to be. And those learned that he went to a dangerous place. The point was, he thought that the zechus of doing the mitzvah of David would protect him from the danger of being inside a room, which could collapse at any time. In any case, he waited, Achi Siyamti, until I finished tefillah, see my prayer. Lachash Siyamti, once I finished davening. So, Amar Li, Eliyahu said to me, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, you know, peace unto you, my master. He was Rabbi Yossi, after all. V'martilo, and now, in recognition, he knew who Eliyahu Navi was, Rabbi Yossi, so therefore he responded to him, and he had to one-up him. He said, V'martilo, shalalecha Rabbi Amori. Greetings to you, my teacher and my master. Right? Fascinatingly, there's a din, which comes up all over Shas, in different places, of Tov Kedei Dibor, that you can retract what you say within the amount of time Tov Kedei Dibor, within the amount of time that says takes to say something. So, fascinating. This is an Agarata. It's a story here, but the halachic issue comes out of this Maisa, because it's brought on elsewhere that the time of Tov Kedei Dibor is the amount of time it takes for the Talmud to be shoel to the Rebbe, to say hello to the Rebbe. So, some learn that they see here, what does the Talmud say to the Rebbe? Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori, four words. Okay, and that's the Rambam learns, the Gadam learns. Others learn, no. Shalom Alecha Rebbe is sufficient to greet your master. The issue is, the only reason why you have four words here is because Rabbi Yossi had to sort of show the one up to Moshe. He says, you know, he was machni himself, he submitted himself to Elio. Therefore, he added the extra word, my teacher and my master. But really, only three is necessary. And it comes out, if you look in Simon Reishavav, and other places too, but Simon Reishavav and Birchus Aperos there, it's actually machlokus between the Ber Hetiv, who was like the first Mishabrua, let's call him, and the Mishabrua, over if Tov Kedei Dibor is three words or four words. The Mishabrua says three words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. But the Ber Hetiv, like from Gadam and others, learned it's actually four words. Okay? From this Maisa here. So, V'amarli. Now, Eliyahu Navi said to me, says Rabbi Yossi, he says, Bani, my son. Notice how once he was recognized who he was, he went from being the Rebbe to being the Bani, the son. Bipnei man nechnas l'chor v'zu. And why'd you go inside this ruin? It's dangerous. Another reason, too, we'll see. Amartilo, so now Rabbi Yossi said, I told Eliyahu, lispalel, I wanted to daven. Right? Amarli, so Eliyahu said, Hayal lecha lispal b'derech. He says, you shouldn't daven inside a chorva, it's dangerous. Rather, you should have stood on the side of the road. Why have to go to a dangerous place? V'amartilo, so I said, listen, the problem was, Misyara ha'isi shema yifsiku bi obrei drachim. I was afraid the people who passed by on the streets would, you know, get in my way. They'd disturb me. So I wanted a private place. This brought down the halacha also in Or HaChaim Simen Tzadi, that a person has to daven in like a concealed place without distraction against the wall if possible, and brought down in Sif Hei actually daven, not daven in the korva. Vamarli, so Eliyahu said, no, you did it wrong. Hayalachal is pal tefil katzar. Not only that, you should have davened not only on the, you should have not davened that. You should have just davened a short prayer on the side of the road. Bosu Shah, in that moment, says Rabbi Yossi, Lamadati mimenu shlosha devarim. I learned three things from him. First of all, I learned, Lamadati she'ein nechnas l'chorva. I learned, you don't go inside ruins, they're bad news. Tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we'll see why they're so bad, but anyways, they're dangerous for starters. There's no excuse. You can't rely on a mitzvah to save you. That's A. And B, v'lamadati shemispal b'derech, that you're allowed to daven on the street. That's okay, right? V'lamadati, and I learned, shemispal b'derech, if you're davening on the street, shalem mispal tefila katsara, you should daven a short tefila. What? Well, I mean, a chorva here means what I don't know how it looked 2,000 years ago. The point is, the chorva was a collapsed building, you know, it could collapse further at any time. And we'll see tomorrow more reasons why. Now, Tefillah Katsara is a reference to Havinenu. We'll see that also in the Chavtes. The kits are now, it's a short prayer, it takes like a minute to say or so, instead of normal Shmoneh Esrei. We say the first three brachas and the last three brachas, and in the middle, instead of the 13 long brachas you're used to saying, it's a single bracha that, like, you know, stuffs all 13 ideas in there together. We'll see in Chavtes. In any case, so Davna Tefillah Katsar, so learn those three things. Fine. Vamarli, now, new points. I mean, same story, but a new point. Vamarli, the conversation continued. Bini, my son, Makosha. Let me tell you something. Okay, we'll go on. Vamarli, he said to me now, Bini, my son, ma kol shamat b'chor v'zu. Like, what voice did you hear inside that chorva? Vamarti lo, I said to him, shamati baskol. I heard it. A baskol is like an echo. But for now, the pashup shot we'll learn is like this. That the in Sanhedrin daf yod and also in Chagiga talks about different levels of nevuah. And there's nevuah proper, and then there's what's called ruach hakodesh, and then once after Zachariah, Malachi, and Haggai ended, so there's not even Ruach HaKodesh. All he left with is Bas Kol. Here, like an echo of the voice in heaven. So here, the Bas Kol was, I heard a voice, like an echo. Sheminehemes Kiyona. It was cooing like a dove. Essentially, this is the most simple shot here, is that it's the Sha'aga that Hashem was crying out, but because it's echoing, it's only hearing the dove sound. But I heard it was like a dove sound, a minor sound. Right? Vomeritz, and what was the voice, the dove voice saying? It was saying, Oy Levanim, woe to the children, Sheba Vanoseim, Chesravti, Espesi, because of their sins, I had to destroy my house. Right? Vesravti, Eshechali, and I had to burn down my palace. Unfortunately, speak out, second time we've seen this already, why the double lush, and why is it both destruction and burning of Hechel and the bias in the Hechel? So they explain, they bring from sources all over the place, that there's really... The Pashup shot is that the Chorban started when Hashem took away his Shekhinah. That's step one. The base English became destroyed once the Shekhinah left. And then step two is actually the physical building got destroyed. And there are many sources talk about how there's like a heavenly base English and a lower base English. Actually, the Gemara itself talks about how there's like a... In Tainus, there's like a upper Jerusalem, Jerusalem Shamalin, and Jerusalem Shalmata. So the point is that I had to destroy it both steps, removing myself and also destroying the physical building. They glaze them, levain almost, and I had to, you know, scatter them amongst the nations. Vamar li, Rabbi and Eliyahu said, Chayecha v'chay roshecha. You bet your life. You know, it literally means like your life and the life of your head. But it means, you know, no doubt about it. Leishazu bilvado mereskach. It's not just this time that happens, not a one-off event that you're getting a special message. Ella, v'chol yom b'yom, every day shalosh pamim, three times a day, omereskach. There's the voice going out, saying, you know, roaring over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Lozu bilvad, not just that. Ela b'shashi Yisrael nechnasim lebate knesses to bate midrashos. Whenever the Jews go into the Beis Knesses, the Beis Midrash, v'onim yehei shmei ha-gadol, this is yehei shmei rabba, but in Hebrew, not in Aramaic, right, mevorach, ha-kadosh baruch hu menenei ha-rosho, Hashem shakes his head, like this is like a not happy shaking of his head, right? And he says, v'omer, ashrei ha-melech shemakal sinoso, yeah, fortunate the king who gets that kind of praise when he's the king, i.e. has the base of Mikdash and it's up and running, right? Babeso, right? However, kach malo la'av, now he's not a king, he's just a father, a crying father of his children. Shiglases banav, he has the scattered children. Oilehem, and woe to the children, labanim, shigalo ma'al shulchan avim, that they're scattered and you know, displaced from the tail of their fathers. They're just, Hashem is saddened every time we say, Yeshmei Rabbah, so Hashem is saddened over the fact that it's such an incomplete declaration. Now, there's discussion on this point. I'll point out here. It was the last point, Yehei Shmei Rabbah. So it says, Yehei Shmei HaGadol. Now that's, Yehei Shmei HaGadol. HaGadol and Yehei is Hebrew, but Shmei is Aramaic. Shmei is Aramaic. It should be Yehei Shmo HaGadol in the Hebrew. And therefore, Mafzer Vitri and others speak out that it's really talking about Shem Yod and Ahei. The Shem Yod and Hey that Hashem has, Kav, and it's a reference to the Pesukim that talk about how Hashem's throne, His Kisei, isn't complete, that the case Kav, the Kisei is lacking of Hashem so long as the Malek's around, and the point is that we're asking that Hashem should, that name should be filled. Tosfos doesn't like it. Okay, Tosfos doesn't like it, but whatever, look, Ein Shach there if you want to see. That's understanding. But in any case, that's the Yeshmei Rabbah. Now, I'll tell you a beautiful interpretation that the Hakosev writes. Hakosev, you ever knows the Ein Yaakov? The Ein Yaakov is like an anthology of all the Agadic parts of the Shas. Soon, in the next couple nights, I'm going to give a whole shiur on Agadot in general. We'll learn the Ramchal, the Shrakshat Agadot, because we're going to start wrestling with Agadot all the time here. But in any case, the Ein Yaakov is a collection of them, and he has his own parish, the anthologizer, and it's called Hakosev, the writer. His name is Rav Yaakov ben Ibn Chabib. That's his name. Anyways, he has a beautiful explanation of what this Maase is conveying. What do we care about the story of Yosef? What's it teaching us, really? The first part. So, and the story. So he says like this, a beautiful pshat. He says, Yosef was living in the door after Rabbi Akiva. And until Rabbi Akiva's time, they thought that Bais HaMikdash would be rebuilt very soon. They were anticipating it happening any moment. Remember, we talked about, not with us actually, but Rabbi Yochanan and Menzake had made this, you know, to kind of about the Omer, that the basement could come any second, and therefore get ready. And that was, you know, that's the thought in the beginning. But now, after the Bar Kokhba catastrophe, and, you know, millions of Jews killed, so they were very nervous, and the Shmad, the oppression of the Jews, became very, very, very severe after that. Zero tolerance, an attempt to wipe out the Jews. That's the story of the Harugi Malfios and the killing of Rabbi Akiva and so on. They had no tolerance whatsoever for Torah. They wanted to destroy it. So Rabbi Yossi was very panicked, and he went to daven that this should come to an end very quickly. So Nichnas L'Chorba means he went in, I don't know, in prayer, meditative state, whatever it is, he went in to beseech Hashem that the Chorban, right, the should come to an end, the Gaul should come to an end.
Right.
So then what happens is, Rabbi Eliyahu Navi comes and says, you know, why are you talking about this? Are you questioning Hashem's justice? What are you doing? So he says, you know, Gomarti lo lispal, I wanted to pray. Amr lo hayalacha lispal baderech. He shouldn't be doubting about why Hashem did it and to bring the base Mikdash back. That's the wrong thing. It's going to be a long exile. You should be davening for the derech, that we should make it through safely. That's what you should focus on. Not the end, but the process. Save us as we go through. Vamar Talo, he said, yeah, I understand that, but Misyara Haisi Shema Yafsiku be Ovid Rachim. I'm afraid that between now and then, all the people in our way, the Romans at the moment, the Yosef is afraid of, won't let us get to the end. So therefore, end it now. I'm panicked. Vamar Li, he said, no. Haylachalas Paul Tfilah Katsara. He said, no. Don't just make a short prayer, it should be okay, and get on with things. Now's not the time, in the state of history, to daven for the Beit Mikdash, to panic about it, recognize exiles ahead of us, and therefore the appropriate thing is to daven Tefillah Katzara and Zeh Ozeh. Beautiful idea. One other idea that's a nice idea, from before. Every time you see that Chazal are giving symbols. In this case, we had earlier up on the Amud, we talked about the three mishmaros. We had signs. We had donkeys braying, dogs barking. So that's always a flag. So I'll give you one interpretation of that. But the Marsha speaks out how there are different phases of the night. We talked about the different melachim are in progress. There's also different phases, parts of your soul are in effect. So he says the first part of the night is talking about your nefesh. That's the lowest part of your soul, of your ruach, nefesh, ruach, and the shama. That's your natural animalistic self, and that's chamor. It's always a reference to physicality, like lashon chomer, chumri is physicality, right? So it's saying the donkey brays. That's the time people are basically worn out and they're interested just essentially in doing things for the body. The first part of the night, then they go to sleep. Then all that's really in effect after that is your ruach, the next step up. That's like you see when we're sleeping, for example, we say biyado afkir ruchi. I deposit my ruach in the Shem's hand. And then the dogs are barking because while everyone sleeps, the angels of, you know, destruction, Malach Kabbalah, are out. That's why, for example, at midnight, you have the Malach HaMavis running around, Hashem running around and destroying, so to speak, in Mitzrayim. And Malach Kabbalah, whatever, the destruction happening. And not, it's not a dog didn't bark. A dog didn't bark then. Other than this, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama. Talks about how if the Daf Samach on the base says that the dogs are barking, the Malach Mavis came to town. So this is indicative, people are sleeping and the bad force of destruction out there at the time of Din, and it's just your Ruach that's in effect. And then the last part, the morning already, you got your strength back, now you focus on your Neshama, the highest part of you. And as Marsha learns, or others learn, but basically both these things are reference to soul activities. He learns that Tinuk Yonik Vishteimo, nursing from the mother, drawing from the milk from the mother, is talking about Torah, drawing from Hashem. It's very, remind me either, obviously you see on Shavuos night, for example, we eat milk as a reference. This idea, not for this Gemara per se, it's a ubiquitous idea that Torah is compared to milk in many ways. Remind me, we're Parshas Balosecha, if you remind me, I'll tell you about it. And Isha Mesaperis in Bala, the wife talked to the husband, Jukla Yisrael, the Knesset Yisrael, so he, that's technically speaking, is compared to a woman married to Hashem. So now the Jews are davening once again in the morning, and then Neshama's back into play, and that's how you know that the day has come. Okay, we'll stop there for today.